Well, open with me in your copy of God's Word to John chapter 15. Today, Lord willing, we'll finish the chapter. As we said, this is a private message setting with the disciples. We're in the last hour of Jesus' life before he will be betrayed and scourged and beaten and pay for the sin of the world. We've talked about that Jesus is the true vine, and that we are to be connected to him. We are the branches. When we are connected to him, we will be fruit producers. This is our duty. This is our calling, is to bear fruit. And well, we've talked about that we cannot do it on our own, but we need to be connected to the true vine. Last week, we were told by Jesus in verse 10 that if we keep his commandments, we will abide in his love. And just as Jesus has kept his Father's commandments, so we are to also keep his commandments and abide in his Father's love. Now, only Jesus, as God, has the right to give commandments. He gives us the commandment to love one another. We saw that Jesus, he wants us to have completed joy in him, and that there is no greater love than if one were to lay down one's life for his friends. And in chapter 13, Jesus said that they call him Master and Lord, and rightfully so, because that is what he is. But now in chapter 15, he says that he no longer calls them servants, but he calls them friends. And even in choosing of the disciples and us, the main purpose, again, is that of fruit-bearing. We're to bear fruit. We're to bear long-lasting fruit, fruit that would remain. So we've seen our relationship to God, that Jesus is the true vine, and that Jesus' Father is the husbandman, the vine dresser. Last week we looked at that our relationship to one another is to love one another and to bear fruit. This week we're going to see the opposite of love. We're going to see our relationship to the world. This is where we're going. Jesus, he's going to speak of hate, and he's going to speak of persecution today. So, John chapter 15. Verses 18 through 27. John chapter 15 says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Verse 20, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. It was Eli Wiesel, the Holocaust survivor. He's attributed a quote saying that the opposite of love is not hate, but indifference. And there obviously was a lack of genuine care of German citizens during the Holocaust. It would seem that most were not in favor of mass execution of the Jews. but also didn't seem particularly concerned about it. There was an indifference toward the Jews, and this was a driving factor for Hitler's plan of extermination of the Jews. And I'd like to read a short poem by a German pastor by the name of Martin Niemöller. The poem is called First They Came. He says, "First they came for the socialist, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, but I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." And how tragic. I think that this is very relative for us today, because there's many that want to push a socialist agenda that everything is free and we only need to tax the upper 1%. Listen, nothing is free. The government does not produce its own money. It only prints it. But free programs come from tax-paying people. I'm afraid that one day we're going to wake up and all we find is communism. And I'm afraid that we're getting closer and closer. And I'd like to challenge you today that the opposite of love is not just indifference. It is, but indeed it is hate. Romans 9:13 says, "Jacob I loved, Esau I hated." God does hate. Proverbs 6:16 through 19 says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, which is a sinful attitude of pride and arrogance, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that divides wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, and a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Today, we're going to see that the world hates in verses 18 through 21. It hates Jesus, and it will hate us as Christians. Jesus tells us in verse 18, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." Verse 18 starts with, if the world, can a planet hate? We know that it can groan. We know this from Romans 8:22. It says that all creation is groaning and is in pain like a woman about to give birth. We're told here that the world hates. Now, who controls the world? Who controls its systems? Or who does the Bible call the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2:2? Satan. Satan, he has influence, he has limited power that has been granted to him by God. And there is truth that the word world can also mean a demonic world system. In John 14:30, Jesus said that the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. The ruler of the systems of the darkness of this world is the father of lies, the devil. 1 John 2:15, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of this world." Then it says, verse 17, "The world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." If the world hates you, Jesus says, you know that it hated me first. In verse 19, Jesus says, "If you were of the world would love its own." Christians, you are not to be of the world. We once were before we were saved, but Ephesians 2:12 said we were living at that time, you were without Christ, but aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We were enemies of God. But as we've come to accept Christ, as we've come to confess him as Lord, he has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. However, the world is going to hate. It only loves its own, we're told. This is very much also the way of certain political agendas. They want to cry inclusion. They want to cry acceptance. But any mention of sin, or that marriage should be between a man and a woman as God intended, or that abortion is murder, or that there's only two genders, you're going to receive hate. It's no longer about acceptance or even about what is right or wrong. There is an agenda, and it's to eliminate anything that goes against any that would fly certain banners. It's now a full frontal attack against the Bible and anyone that would challenge their stance on anything. The world hates Christians. They want to destroy the faith that once was delivered for the saints. Now listen, we don't hate here. We don't hate people here. We don't hate at this church. We do struggle with flesh and blood, as Ephesians 6:12 says. But we do fight against principalities, evil rulers, evil powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wickedness in high places. And I think too often, as Christians, we may be soft. We don't want to be called a hypocrite or a bigot or a hater. And we don't hate the sinner. We wish that all would come to saving faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord. We want them to experience the true love of God, to experience the forgiveness of sins, to experience amazing grace, to experience life-changing new birth that only comes when anyone is connected to Christ. And today, I think most people, that they don't have a problem with you saying, God bless you, or even God bless America. But it becomes a different tune when you start to mention the name of Jesus. And why do you think that is? It's because Jesus claims that he is the only way to heaven, that it's something you can't earn on your own merit, that he paid the payment for you and I, for sin. He tells the disciples and us that if the world hates you, it hated me before. Jesus tells us in verse 20 to remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. And then Jesus, he talks about that hatred is brought to the next level. The next level is not just hating something. The next level comes to actual persecution. They will hate and persecute you because of Jesus' name. And the reason is because they do not know the Father who sent Jesus. And many who might claim to be religious, that they do not know God, that they don't practice what Jesus said. They don't practice what he taught. They don't know God as their father. Their father is Satan, the prince of lies, the murderer from the beginning. Listen, you cannot kill babies. You cannot live in sexual immorality and call yourself a Christian. It's just bad fruit. How you vote also makes a difference. If you're supporting such cases, you need to really examine yourself. Sometimes it's not the person you should vote for, but its policies. And the world is not neutral. John 1:11 says that Jesus came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Jesus, he came to his creation. He came to his own people, the Jews, and the world rejected him, the perfect Son of God. And people said, nope, we'd rather stick to our own tradition. We'd rather just do it the way we've always done it because we're in control of it ourselves. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. The world hates Jesus, and they will hate us. But secondly, the world hates God. Verses 21 through 24. Verse 21, it says, they don't know that God the Father sent Jesus. There might be people who say they go to church. There could even be those that call themselves pastors. But in reality, if they live and they talk like the world in a way that is contrary to the Bible, they are wolves in sheep's clothing. And if you want to know if they are true believers, you examine their fruit. Are they Christ glorifying or are they self-glorifying? Do they have love for others or do they have love for just their own interests? Do they love the family of God? Up until verse 21, Jesus has said, if, verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 19, if you are of the world would love its own. Verse 20, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. At verse 21, Jesus says, they will do to you. We can expect persecution. It's going to happen. Verse 22 says that if Jesus had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for sin. This does not mean that they would have zero sin, but specific sin of rejecting Jesus as the one and only Son of God that takes away the sin of the world. John MacArthur, he says on verse 22, that he did not mean that he, Jesus, if he had not come, that they would be sinless, but his coming incited the severest and the most deadly sin. That of rejecting and rebelling against God and his truth. It was the decisive sin of rejection, the deliberate and fatal choice of darkness over life and death of which he spoke. He had done so many miracles and spoken innumerable words to prove that he was the Messiah and Son of God, but they were belligerent in their love of sin and their rejection of the Savior. The word says in Romans 2:1 that they are without excuse. Jesus told them in John 8:24, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe I am, you will die in your sins. We must believe that Jesus is God, or there will be eternal consequences. Verse 23 says, he who hates me hates my Father as well. This is clear as day. Just like back in John 5, if you honor the Son, you honor the Father. Jesus said in John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't love him, you will die in your sins and you will be separated from God forever. The world hates Jesus because he claims that he is the exclusive way to the Father in heaven and that we're not good enough on our own merit. Verse 24, it says, if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. Why? Because the signs, the miracles, they prove the divinity of the Son. But now they've seen the signs and they hate both Jesus and they hate God the Father. Verse 25 says, they hated me without a cause. Now maybe in your Bible, this is in italics. That's because it's a quote from the Old Testament. And I'll give you three references. The first one is Psalm 109, verse 3, which says, they have also surrounded me with the words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. Psalm 69, verse 4 says, those who hated me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. Psalm 35, verse 19 says, let them not rejoice over me who are wrongfully my enemies, nor let them wink with the eye those who hate me without a cause. You can take your pick of any of those three verses. These are three times that King David proclaimed that people hated him without a cause. And so also Jesus, the greater son of David, has the ultimate fulfillment of this. They hated Jesus even though he did nothing wrong. There was no cause for his rejection. Nonetheless, it was prophesied beforehand that he would come, that he would be rejected, and that he would be the man of sorrows. And when you reject God, it is immoral. It's rebellion against the creator of the universe. And when you tell God that you think for some way, some reason, that your good deeds will outweigh your bad, listen, you're not going to make it. You cannot do enough good in order to outweigh your bad, in order to get into heaven. One thought, one act of disobedience, one bite of the forbidden fruit caused punishment for the entire human race. We're told that our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. And Jesus said that if we look at another person with lust, we've committed adultery in our heart. If you've hated your brother, you've committed murder in your heart. We can't keep God's law perfectly. No one can. But God. But God, Ephesians 2 says, who's rich in mercy, for his great love saved us from our sins. He offered his son. He offers for us to be a new creation, to be the called out ones. This is what it means to be a church. Church in Greek is ekklesia. It's a compound word. Ek meaning out of, and kaleo to call. The church is not a building. It's a special people that God has called out from the world. And we are to be the body of Christ, to be believers in an eternal kingdom. We're no longer slaves to sin, but we are Jesus' friends. We've seen that the world hates Jesus, that it hates us as well. They've rejected Jesus. They've hated God the Father. What's the solution? What's the cure? The cure is the gospel. Verses 26 through 27, the cure is the gospel. Verse 26, it says, but when the helper, the capital H, the promised Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, the comforter, the advocate, the one who comes alongside, he's the same nature as Jesus. He's God. When the helper whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth, he proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, Jesus says. He will testify that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And trust me, truth is on trial. It has been since the garden. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will testify of Jesus Christ. He will come, he will convict the world of sin and give the opportunity for sinners to become children of God, to those who would call upon the name of Jesus, that Jesus is God's Son and that he rose again. The cure for the world is the gospel. What is the gospel? It is the good news. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, 3 through 4, for what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Hallelujah! It was proven by over 500 eyewitnesses that saw Jesus at the same time. Eyewitness accounts. It's very simple. The gospel is Jesus, the Son of God. He came, he died for you because you and I, we are wretched sinners. He rose again 3 days from the grave to prove that he was God. He ascended to heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit to live in believers so we can be reconciled to God. We accept the gospel by believing that Jesus, that he would lose nothing. And the Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus, because Jesus is true. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So it makes sense that the Holy Spirit would testify. The Spirit of truth would testify of Jesus. They're eternally three in persons, but one in essence. One God, three persons. Verse 27 says that you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're given the power from the Holy Spirit to go and to testify that Jesus is who he says he is. Some closing thoughts. Is God working in you? Are you opening up the possibilities for gospel conversations? We are to receive the gospel by faith. It's a gift. We're to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we will be saved. We're told that the Spirit of truth will bear witness. Verse 27, it also says, we will bear witness because we have been with Jesus from the beginning. Hatred should not stop us from witnessing. Hatred should not stop us from witnessing. Do not fear God. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, is living in you. He gives you power. He is our helper. He wants you to bear witness. Proclaiming the gospel is very simple. Jesus came, he paid for sin, he died, he rose again, and he now offers forgiveness, payment for sins. Our responsibility is to accept it by faith and to offer it freely to others. Bear witness of Jesus Christ. Tell others of the good news that Jesus saved you. Romans 1:16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes." Don't be ashamed. Don't be frightened. It is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. We can bear witness by living in accordance to his word. Colossians 3:17, it says, "Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Honor God by being thankful and doing everything unto him. Be thankful and give. Give love. Be thankful in all things. Don't serve just a political party. Serve King Jesus. Definitely vote your conscience. Vote for saving the unborn. Vote for the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman. How you vote and how you react to acts on faith matter. Remember, they hated Jesus first. Also, proclaim King Jesus. Whatever you do, expect persecution. Expect hate. The world eventually will want to kill us. They'll think that they're doing God a favor. It will happen. But Jesus' kingdom is different than that of the world's. His is the kingdom of God. You will adapt and you will conform to what you are around. But abide in Christ. Produce fruit by loving others. Start with your own family. Make sure you're loving your spouse. Make sure you're loving your kids and your grandkids. Say, "I love you." Say, "I love you" to your church family. Be kind to others. Be kind to others at work. Be kind to those that you meet. Finally, we get to tell others about the truth. They are in darkness, but we are given the greatest opportunity to go and tell. We're to be not of the world, but we're to be in the world, not of the world. We can see people being transformed by the glorious gospel. Finally, John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." And this is God's word. and I say thanks be to God for it. Let's pray. Oh, dear Lord, thank you. Thank you again for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for allowing me to preach this word boldly. Lord, your Spirit testifies of your Son, Jesus. Lord, as we've read and we've talked about, the world will hate us. They will persecute us. Lord, I ask that when that time comes, may we be faithful. Thank you that you are faithful to the end. Lord, remove anything that is not from you. Speak and convict. And Lord, if there is someone here who has not fully trusted you, would you grant the gift of saving faith? That salvation is only through Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us, challenge us. May we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we glorify him. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.